Well, good morning. I want to welcome all of you. It's good to see everyone, particularly if you're new, this is your first time here. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. What we want to do today is spend some time in God's Word, and we're going to gather together around the table of the Lord, a very wonderful time of intimacy with the Lord. That's what we want to do. We are in week number one of our 40-day prayer campaign. We're called Seek God for the City, and Jason referred to it already. Many of you received these in the last couple of weeks. We gave them out. We have these books. If you don't have one, there are some still available on the back table, some out in the information center there as well, the counter. You also can download an app by the same title, Seek God for the City, right onto your phone or your device and follow along in the 40 days of prayer that way as well. Leads us right up through Lent, right to Palm Sunday and April 14th. Well, I trust that you've been praying already. And seeking God, week one is about the life of Christ. And it says in the back that we're, in week one, praying toward God's promise to renew Christ's life among his people. Essentially what that means is we're praying for revival. For revival. Now, we all know what revival is, right? Revival's not a series of meetings. That we're having a revival on Friday night. We have an evangelist coming. That's not what we mean when we talk about revival. We're talking about a fresh move of God's Spirit that ushers in the manifest presence of God and advances his kingdom in significant ways. A true revival where we sense God's presence. And my friends, we desperately need revival. When you read the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, you read the story of God's chosen people, the Israelites, you see they're like on this roller coaster. They're close to God, serving God, and then they fall away, and it's like back and forth. They often were in a place where they needed revival. They needed renewal. I want to briefly take you to one such encounter. It's in Psalm 85. And I just want to identify a few things about revival from this revival song. And then we're going to just take time praying and seeking God and gathering around the table of the Lord. So if you would, and if you can, open your Bible, turn on your device, and look at Psalm 85. We're not exactly sure the origin of this particular song, what the circumstances were, the history and the time that it was written, that which precipitated the writing of the song. Was it David writing during a time when he was trying to flee from the Philistines? Was it a post-exilic song that was written after the exile and the children of Israel had returned to Jerusalem and they're seeing all the desolation and they're longing for those former glory days? We don't really know the precise circumstances. But it is very clear when you look at the psalm, that it is a cry for revival, and it is a confident expectation that God is going to renew his people. What I want to do is just going to point out a couple of things, and I want to do it for a very specific reason. I want to point these out because I want you, and I want us to search our hearts today. And to pray God's promise to renew Christ's life among us, to revive us. So let's begin. And we notice right away at the start that revival begins with remembering God's past mercies. All three verses, the first three verses, it's all in the past tense. They're looking back. They're remembering what God had done. Notice, you showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people, covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. And as they sing the song, they're looking back and they're remembering the mercies of God and his favor upon them, his forgiveness, all the things that he's done. And I believe if we want God to revive us and renew us, we too need to look back and remember God's past mercies. I think back in my own life, God's grace and goodness to me, his mercy toward me. When I was 8 years old, I was in a children's church program at our church over in Akron, Ohio. And one of the ladies talked about Jesus and how we need Jesus and what he's done and how he died for us. And God spoke to me. And my young 8-year-old heart understood that I was a sinner and needed a Savior. And I opened my heart to him, got on my knees and prayed, and Jesus came into my life. And I can think in my early years and teen years how God showed his mercy to me over and over again and bringing people into my life to bless me and to encourage me and to help me and to guide me in my faith. Could you take a moment right now just to think back maybe a year, maybe two, maybe 50, maybe 60 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was for you that God revealed himself to you and brought you to Jesus. In the book of Revelation, it talks about remembering the height from which you have fallen. And so I'm asking you, think back to those high points in your life, in your spiritual journey. Those times when God's mercy was evident, whether it's a camp meeting, a retreat, a word from a friend, a sermon, a series, some event in your life, God's mercy is so evident. Can you just go back and remember his favor and his goodness? That's where revival and renewal begins, remembering God's past mercies. The second thing we notice is there has to be a recognition of the true condition. We have to acknowledge where we are and what reality is now. And right now, they're in the valley. They're thinking back to those high mountain experiences with God. Now they're recognizing where they are. And there's a sense of estrangement, a feeling of displeasure from God because of their sin and their need for fresh cleansing. So you notice in verse 4, it begins to talk about this. It moves from the past into the present, and it's starting to blend into the request and the cry for renewal. But you'll notice the acknowledgement, the recognition of the need in their true condition. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. They had a very clear sense that they were not pleasing God. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Now, God's love is unfailing, and they acknowledge that. But we can't always experience it and feel it. And when we drift away from him, when we grow cold, when we allow sin to interrupt our relationship and the fellowship we have with God, we can't feel experientially his presence and his love. It's not that he's moved away. It's that we have drifted. We've grown cold. We've looked elsewhere. And that's what happened to them. And they understood it. And they acknowledged it. And so I ask you, I ask us, we as a congregation, can we acknowledge where we are? My friends, I believe that we desperately need revival. We need a work of God. I need renewal and revival. When we look at our land, we look at our communities, the impact of the church is so insignificant. God is calling us to be light, to shine, to impact the culture, to be like salt, to preserve and to impact the culture around us. And yet we see this increasing darkness and distance from God. And we can't rail against people outside who don't know God. We have to look at our own hearts and ask the question, are we really in the place that we need to be? And I'm just standing before you, and I'm not pointing fingers at you. If there are any fingers being pointed, they're at me. The acknowledgement of the need in my own heart. David Olson wrote a book, very telling title. The book is called The American Church in Crisis. He's a graduate of Crown College, one of our own Alliance colleges, researcher, and he states after extensive research of thousands of churches, he said, the American church is in crisis. At first glance, this may not be apparent, but while many signs of its evident success and growth abound, in reality, the American church is losing ground as the population continues to surge. And here's what we have to accept, my friends. On any given Sunday, the vast majority of Americans are absent from church. Even more troublesome, as the American population continues to grow, the church falls further and further behind. If trends continue, by 2050, the percentage of Americans attending church will be half of what it was in 1990. And by 1990, it had already declined to a significant degree. And even now, as he wrote this book a number of years ago now, he made the statement that 77% of Americans have no consistent life-giving connection with a local church. The American church is in crisis. And my friends, the American church is me. And it's you. It's us. We are the church. Jesus called us to follow him, he said. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we need to get out. We need to move out, be motivated, bolded like the early church to reach out to people who are lost and do not know him. We desperately need revival. In their book, God is Back, John Micklewaite and Adrian Woolridge, they describe the American church. They said the American church, the state of it is what they call the Disneyification of the church. The Disneyification of the church. Or what they call Christianity Light, a bland and sanitized faith that is about as dramatic as the average shopping mall. Again, I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying, let's look at the landscape. Let's ask God, show us where we really are. Would you show us our true spiritual condition? Revival cannot occur if we are in denial, if we do not acknowledge where we are and what our need really is. And so I'm not telling you what your need is. I'm just describing the general landscape and calling you to look into your heart and ask God to show you where your heart is. As I do the same. So there's a remembering of past mercies, a recognition of the true condition. And when we do that and come to the conclusion that there's tremendous need, then there's a cry out to God for revival. God, you alone can fix the problem. You alone can bring new life. And that's why the psalmist says, restore us again. Bring us back to where we were. Bring us back to the height from which we have fallen. And again, will you not revive us again? Revive us, oh God, revive us. A passionate plea. Revival will not occur in a vacuum. It comes through prayer. And that's why we're spending these 40 days in prayer. To seek God. And we're beginning, as we pray for our city, for our community, for the people who need Christ, we're beginning right here at home to pray for ourselves that God will revive us and renew us. And it's not about jacking up more faith, jacking up more activity. It's about rediscovering the life of Jesus Christ and his indwelling power in us by his Holy Spirit. When you came in today, you should have received a little sheet that looks like this. It's a red page, has a number of prayer requests. Would you take that out and look at it just for a moment? This is a list of many of the prayer requests from the Seek God for the City brochure this first week. It's the first week, praying toward God's promise. I want you to take this and I urge you to make this a matter of prayer, to look at this and see if some of these prayers resonate in your heart. Make them your own and cry out to God and pray. The good news is that God longs to revive us. Oh, we don't have to coerce him. We don't have to beg him. He wants to do it. He's just waiting for us to ask and to seek him. And that's why the psalm ends. We don't have time, but the psalm ends with this confident expectation of what he's going to do. So I urge you to call out to him. Well, we're going to pray now for God to continue his work among us. So I hope that you will continue to pray for those requests that you received, that you took a couple weeks ago. But I also hope that you will participate in the Seek God for Your City, and you'll really open your heart and pray for those requests each day as they come. So in the coming weeks, on Sunday mornings, we're going to have one of our elders come and lead us in prayer for that particular focus. And today, Jason's going to lead us. He's going to lead us in prayer now for that. And following that, we'll be receiving our offering for the day. If you have that, you want to get that ready. If you have the communication card, you want to fill that out and put it in the offering. We'll be doing that in a moment. And then we're going to conclude our service with the time of worship and celebration and drawing near to God. So, Jason, would you come and lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. As we pray, it's not myself praying, but it's us joining together. So as you're focused on some of my words, but also let the Lord speak to you, and it works together that way. Two or three are gathered. He is here also. We want to see this change in our hearts. We want to see this change in our church. We want to see this change in our community. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your kindness, your goodness to us. God, you've done so much in our church and in us as individuals. And this morning, God, as we've been praying through the prayer for the city, God, we've seen the focus is really on revival. And as we know, God, revival starts with us. God, that we can't hope and look forward to things changing in our communities and our cities unless it changes in us first. Lord, we want us to be right with you first and foremost. You want us to have relationship with you. You want us to be pure and holy in your sight. God, you want to do stuff in our hearts, in our lives, God, things that have been holding us back and chains that have been on us for years. God, you want to see those things broken and changed. And God, I pray that you would come and really do those work in us. God, that you begin to change things inside of us, God, that so we can be your people, so that we can have right relationships with you, so that we can be difference makers in our community. God, there's things in all of us, God, that have just weighed us down and sidetracked us from your perfect will. In your perfect plan, God, we pray that you'd bring revival to us, individuals, God, this week and even today, God, that you begin to change the pattern of our life, the course of our life, Lord. It looks like some of us are going this way, God, but you'd redirect us and get us on the right track with you. God, we pray for those that are really beset by addictions, temptations, things, God, that have just seemed so much bigger than themselves. God, we look to you as a big God. And a God that can change those circumstances. God, we pray for help and support to people here in this room, God, that just need it. God, that they really do need counselors and friends and people that come alongside them and help them change, God, towards you and to who you want them to be. God, we pray for revival, God, that would start in us, God, but would continue outside of us. God, we pray for revival in our families. God, for some of us that are living right and are in our right relationships with you, we have friends, and we have uncles, and we have aunts, and we have nieces, and we have nephews. We have our own children, God, that sometimes aren't walking with you, and it's such a big burden on us. We pray for revival in our family, for those that are close to us, God, that you've placed a special care and concern in us, God. Family and those that are close to us are just different, you know, in the way we look at them and we think about them, and you've wired us that way. God, we pray for our families, and we pray for those that are close, God, that our relationships with you would extend to those. God, bring revival to our families. Lord, let not only us be saved, but the biblical concept is our whole families, God, are just wrapped up in that and embraced by that. God, we pray for those that have wandered away, those lost sons and those lost daughters, as it were, to just be brought into the family once again, not just our genetic family, God, but our spiritual family. We pray for revival and restoring those relationships and those connections with you and with the family at large as well. God, we pray for our neighborhoods and we pray for the communities right around here. God, wherever we live, God, we pray for those areas, God, for Upper St. Clair and for Peters and for Baldwin and Canonsburg and Carrick and Pittsburgh and South Fayette, all the different communities that are just on our border. Cecil, God, just there's so many, God, that our church draws from, and there's so many that we want to impact. God, we pray for revival in those places, God, as Pastor shared. The decline in churches and the church attendance, God, we know it's not about church, but it's about relationship with you that those numbers are indicating. God, we pray that you'd revive hearts, that you give people a renewed hunger for you. God, we see hunger after fame, and we see hunger after fortune. We see hunger after this and that, God, but we want a hunger to be realized after you, that people would just want to know you, that we'd be able to have conversations about you, we'd be able to point people in your direction. God, we pray for revival, a revival of hearts and lives, God, that are just focused on you, which is the right thing that we should be focused on. And we pray for a revival that the kingdom is built up, God, that the things of you take precedent over every other detail and every other aspect of our lives, God, that we sometimes give so much credence to and so much weight to. We put so many things before you, God. We want to put you first. We want to put you second. God, we want to make you so important in our lives and the lives of our community. God, there is nothing good that's outside of you. Every good thing comes from you. And you filled us with a lot of good things, God, but sometimes we fill ourselves with the good and forget the best. And we know that you're the best. God, we so deeply want a relationship with you personally. We so deeply want to see you move in our families. We so deeply want to see you move in our communities. God, help us to think about revival. Help us to work towards revival. Help us to pray for revival. God, make changes in our lives. Make changes in our church. Make changes in what we do and how we give and how we go, that we can see this be a reality. God, we don't want revival in the future. We want revival now. And pray that you'd help us to work towards that and make that a reality. God, we love you. We want to see these changes happen in us, in our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.